Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
The St. Louis Rams are officially on the clock, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, fans, one and all. I'm glad you tuned in for our On the Clock special featuring the St. Louis Rams, brought to you by NFLDraftBible.com, the industry leader in NFL draft coverage and college football insight. I am your host, Joe Everett, and tonight we will be joined by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Jim Thomas, going to give you the inside scoop on all things. You love the Rams, maybe you just love the NFL draft. We are here to talk about their offseason plans, what exactly they're going to do on draft day. And we also have a live interactive chat room. You can access that. It's blogtalkradio.com/allaccessfootball. Click the icon to chat. We've got a great one here and detailing the St. Louis Rams as we do all this month. We're going to hit each and every single NFL team, all 32 in the books, every single team in the month of March. We are at pick 14 in the St. Louis Rams, a good season at 7-9 last year, second in the NFC West, almost one game, just almost out of that playoff berth. The current power structure is rebuilding the plan. Bill Devaney, admirable job in the last two drafts. Head coach Steve Spagnuolo, former Giants assistant. We are big fans of Spags on this show, and they add a key element to their coaching staff here for 2011. The one, the only Josh McDaniels of Denver fame. Didn't go so well in his first venture at the head coaching position, but we know he has a brilliant offensive mind and he has one heck of a quarterback to work with. It has been a woeful five last years for the St. Louis Rams franchise, a 21-59 record. The last playoff appearance not too long ago in 2004 bested the Seattle Seahawks 27-20 in their first round. And really looking at the things, and I do say Billy Devaney has done an admirable job, because the last year's crop was a good one. Certainly a lot of kids added to the crew, 10 draft picks on the draft, and of course it starts with Sam Bradford, and it goes without saying, impressive by beyond anyone's expectations, unless you're the biggest Oklahoma Bradford fan there was. Even then, I think you would be surprised at how well he did, considering the circumstances. But almost, and not to be overshadowed, second-round pick Roger Saffold, just a tremendous value outside of the first, a guy that stepped right in at the tackle position and didn't miss a beat, another guy that really did well for himself in that offseason approaching the draft, and the Rams management certainly noticed. Didn't get to see a lot from wide receiver Marty Gilliard. Injury pretty much put that out of the scenario, but like what we saw out of tight end Michael Humanoanui, and yes, it would not be a St. Louis Rams podcast if we didn't have a Humanoanui reference, known more as a blocker, but showed off some soft hands when he was in there. But the rap on him, the book on Michael Humanoanui, was an injury-prone young fellow, but talented, and that's what we saw again, a little too much time on the sidelines. And the rest of the draft, though, still some playmakers. Findi Onabun, another basketball convert tight end, now a little inexperienced, a former power forward Arizona Wildcats, memory serves, and didn't get to see a lot of him due to injury, but a nice crop, and got a little more from last year's, the previous year's first rounder, Jason Smith, and the very much anticipated impact of a Chris Long from Virginia last year. And just looking at the last 5 years' draft, Bradford, Smith, you got Chris Long, Adam Carricker, unfortunately he is now on the Redskins, playing a little 5-tech in their 3-4 defense, probably a better fit, better for both sides included. Ty Hill, still hanging on another team's roster, but 3 out of 5 is not bad, considering the current management brought in this last 3 classes, doing quite well looking at things. And just out of the playoffs and some of the picks that they've actually hit on, too, in previous years, another second-round value, possibly their best round in the last two draft classes, James Laurinaitis, leader of the defense now. And the changes that are coming up, though, we know Laurinaitis is back. We know Bradford's back. Free agency is shrouded over this team, as it is much of the NFL squads in the current CBA situation, but there are two particular players that we will be asking Jim Thomas of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch calling in shortly. We expect him. And also, looking at the players they lost, no more O.J. Ogbonna, another injury-prone player, now joining Adam Carriker on those Redskins, how they're going to replace him in that safety rotation, what's going to be going on in the secondary, what's going to be going on in the defense, that's what we are covering here on the OTC, and they have to get Sam Bradford some playmakers. That's the current scenario. You have your franchise quarterback, and who is it going to be? They're having some difficulties on this roster as we speak. We're not hearing anything from the free agency of one Mark Clayton, Laurent Robinson. And speaking of injury prone, you've got Donnie Avery, the trick knee, and probably an even more trickier knee there, if trickier's a word. But having Denarius there, flashes. The Mizzou product showed us something. He showed some talent, and where they're going at that position, we are going to find out. It's On the Clock podcast, and since the St. Louis Rams are on the clock, and I believe we have Jim Thomas on the switchboard, and we get him on shortly here. Jim, first off, really want to thank you for joining us, taking the time. I know it's busy. Not only is this NCAA stuff picking up, the CBA, it's just great to have an actual Rams insider on the show, Jim.
Hey, my pleasure, but forget about this lockout in the draft. I'm working on my NCAA bracket now, so no.
That's right. You got to pick the right upsets.
I'm the world's worst bracket picker, so.
Yeah. I usually fill it out in a panic at the last minute, but be that as it may, Jim, you cover this team. You're on the St. Louis Dispatch. And also, folks, if you haven't heard it out there, the blog Rams Report, go check it out right now. It's stltoday.com. A great job of covering the team, but could you just run it down for the listeners? 2010 season, almost in the playoffs. Could you give us the highs, the lows, and your take on what went down last season?
Well, as you know, Joe, this team was so bad for 3 years, 6 wins out of 48 games between 07, 08, and 09, 6-42. So they were bad of historic and really almost epic proportions. And so they got back to respectability. I mean, they were painful to watch for a while. And, as you know, this is a passing league. And when you get a franchise-type quarterback like Sam Bradford, it gives you a chance. So he kind of helped inject new life in the team, and defensively, the second system in Steve Spagnuolo's system, they were a lot better, and they didn't make a ton of changes on that side of the ball. That's what made the defensive progress that they made so much better. And just to give you a quick idea of how much improved they were over 100 points better in points scored from 2009, and they were over 100 points better in points allowed from 2009, and it was still only good enough for 7-9. That shows you how bad they'd been. But they're respectable. Their schedule's tougher next year, but they're pretty excited about the prospect of maybe getting over the hump next year.
Well, you brought up that they didn't really add a lot of pieces yet, improved so much, and I've got to attribute that a lot to the progression finally and what the fans wanted to see from Chris Long, Howie's son. He just really, the light bulb seemed to turn on.
Yeah, it really did, and it's funny. It started about midway through the 2009 season, which was Chris's second year, in the league and with the Rams, and he had a pretty good second half of 09, and then in 2010 he he really picked up where he left off. And, you know, I think he finished with 8.5 sacks, which is a good year for any end, you know, not a great year. But he was much more destructive than that pure number will show. He was in the backfield a lot. He blew up a lot of plays with quarterback hits, with quarterback pressures, or just getting back there to make a stop on the running play. So that really helped him help the defense out a lot and help the cornerbacks out. And not just Chris Long. They had some other young players that continued to progress and grow, and among them was James Laurinaitis, the middle linebacker from Ohio State, Bradley Fletcher, cornerback from Iowa, who suffered a pretty serious knee injury about a third of the way through the 2009 season, and nobody thought he'd be ready for the start of the regular season. He ended up starting all 16 games, played pretty well, and you know he still probably wasn't fully recovered from that knee, and he has a chance, I think, to be a pretty darn good cornerback. I mean, he should be really at full health next year. So they had a lot of young guys, a lot of young veterans, Ron Bartel, Oshimogo Otagwe now with the Washington Redskins, and they'll have to fill that spot back there. But they have a lot of young players on defense, and I think the second year in the system helped them improve too. They just had a better knowledge of what they were doing and what they were asked to do.
Definitely, and love the defensive-minded coach. Obviously, he's really riding this ship. And just looking at the last year's rookie crop, in your opinion, I mean, obviously everybody knows how good Sam was, but I don't know that some of these things offensively would have happened if it weren't for Roger Saffold, the IU tackle, who really that's probably one of the best values in last year's draft outside of the first round.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think it was Don Banks from SI.com did like a redraft near the end of the 2010 season, kind of a thing based on from what we know now, how would we have done the draft? He had Saffold going number 4 overall in the draft. So when you can have the number 1 overall pick in Bradford, and he looks like to be everything that was advertised, and then a guy like Saffold in the get him at the top of the second, forget about the other rounds. You've had a pretty good draft. And for remember now, he pushed a number 2 overall pick from the year before, Jason Smith, over the right tackle. That's how much the coaches liked him and how strongly they felt that he could do the job. So he had a rookie quarterback, a rookie left tackle, and Jason Smith, remember, had played only 8 games as a rookie in 2009. He had concussion and knee problems, so he was almost a rookie. So they were very inexperienced, on the edges, and so I think it makes it even more impressive what Bradford was able to do last season.
Only cutting his teeth all the time. Looking at this offense, and we're approaching the 2011 draft, Jim, and you know better than anybody, you get that franchise quarterback. You want to surround him with as much talent as you possibly can. And I hear a little grumblings from the Rams fans where it might not be wide receiver as the first priority in the draft. What do you think the top 3 needs are coming in for the Rams?
Well, you know, to go back to one of my earlier statements, the Rams were over 100 points. I think it was like 130 points better on offense last year than the year before. But they only went from averaging 10 points a game, which is what they did in their 1-15 season, to a little over 17 points a game last year. As you well know, you've got to be averaging somewhere in the mid-20s, you know, to be considered really a playoff contender in this league. So the Rams need to find another touchdown a game somewhere, and so you do need to add some pieces around, and they have some young receivers and some guys with some potential, but unfortunately a lot of them have had injury problems. Donnie Avery missed all of last season with a third preseason game against New England. He suffered a season-ending knee injury. Denari Alexander had an amazing senior year at the University of Missouri here, and kind of a local favorite because of that. You know, he's had 5 surgeries on his left knee. Now, he had 3 games where he really impacted the games last year, but the knee was an issue. Now, whether he'll get better, you know, with a full off season to just kind of rest and recover on that, or whether he's going to have knee problems all the way through and not have the career that he hoped. Who knows? So I still think the Rams need to get a wide receiver, and they need someone that can make plays, be a difference maker, stretch the field, get yards after catch, the whole kit and caboodle. And I would say that's number one. Number two, I would say, would be outside linebacker. The Rams need one in the worst way. They just kind of patched that. They had about 3-4 players start that position last year. Weak side linebacker I'm talking about, and that can come in the draft or free agency if we ever have a free agency. And the third need I would say would be either backup running back or maybe safety. Now that Otagwe's gone, they've got some guys on the roster at safety, but that still might be a position where they want to look at one way or the other.
And I have heard a lot of backup running back talk as well, just because, you have one of the most talented backs in the league right now. It's just overworking him at this point in his career has to be a bit of a concern. How do you look at, so many running backs these days, they hit the 30 mark or approach that age, they start, digressing. What's your take on Steven Jackson heading into the 2011 season? Because with the addition of Josh McDaniels, this could be a huge year for Steve Dix.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think McDaniels, at least we all think, conventional wisdom says that he'll use Steven Jackson more in the passing game. That 2006 season, which really was kind of Jackson's breakout year, he had 90 catches. And since then, he's usually been in the 40s or 50s. So you'd think he might be used more as a safety valve or even on some routes, and maybe he would get a few less carries. And he was near the top of the league in touches last year. But, it's a pretty indisputable fact, what you were talking about the running backs when they hit 30. It's almost like clockwork. They just start to break down, and there's been very few that have maintained their production, after the age of 30. Now, Steven Jackson turns 28 before the start of the season, so maybe he has two or three really prime seasons left, but you never know. He's a taller back, he's a big back, and kind of has kind of an upright running style, so he takes a lot of hits, unlike his predecessor, Marshall Faulk. Sure, Marshall would get hit hard occasionally, but he had a way of really avoiding that full blow, that full force blow, so you just wonder if Steven Jackson will be able to last, how much longer. I think he's still running very well. His yards per carry were down last year, but he played through a lot of pain. He had a groin muscle injury that he kept playing with, missed only one half of one game with that, and then for more than half of the season he played with a broken hand, and he it was painful for him to just catch passes or for a while even to take some of the handoffs. But it would be nice, even if it was a third down back, a complimentary back, if you could just, he didn't have to be out in the field quite as much, I think that's something the Rams will be looking for in the draft or free agency.
It definitely could open up the offense even more potentially. You are listening live, folks. It's On the Clock, St. Louis Rams. We are joined by Jim Thomas, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Rams insider. And you talked about it briefly, the wide receiver position, and you said it perfectly. If there is the free agency, the uncertainty surrounding it, but two guys that really, I think, kind of headline things at that spot. It's Mark Clayton and Laurent Robinson. And just your take on, of the two, who do you think is most likely to be back and just how they stand with the team? Because they've been effective at stretches.
Yeah, well, now both of their contracts are up. They're both scheduled to be free agents now. Laurent Robinson only has 4 years in. So if they play by the rules of last offseason, he would still be restricted, where it took 6 years to be unrestricted. Now, Mark Clayton, on the other hand, is a six-year guy, and so he'd be a free agent either way. The Rams have been talking to Mark Clayton, and they were fairly close to a deal before March 4th hit. And after that time, you couldn't sign anybody. And so I think he'll be back. He had a tremendous start. He was hurt pretty early in the fifth game. He was on pace for about 1,200 yards and about 80 catches. He really started off good in those first four games. Gave them some downfield speed, very precise route runner, and learned the playbook amazingly quickly, and got some yards after the catch too, which is always good. So, you know, I'm fairly certain as we talk here that he'll be back. Robinson, you know, I'm not so sure. They did make him a tender, assuming that free agency would be 6 years. That's how the whole league operated, or most of it. They made tender to those guys that had four and five years in that under last year's system would still be restricted free agent. So they did make him a tender, but I think Laurent Robinson, all things being equal, you know, he might have a tough time, you know, making the club next year. Donnie Avery will be back from his knee injury. He's been working hard to get back. You've got Danny Amendola, who really had a nice year last year as a slot receiver. Brandon Gibson had a pretty good year. You still have Marty Gilliard, Denario Alexander. You need, even if the Rams re-sign Clayton, even if they draft somebody or sign somebody in free agent wide receiver, they need one of those guys to step up. Really, last year, the whole lot, the only one that really was noticeably improved was Danny Amendola. So they need something out of Gilliard or Gibson, you know, improved play, or if Alexander can stay healthy, or Donnie Avery comes back and goes back at least to his form. They need somebody to step up. But if all these people are back and stay healthy, it should be an interesting training camp at the wide receiver position.
A very crowded position indeed, and I have to agree, like what we saw out of Mark Clayton early, the Sooner connection was working quite well, and we have you on, Jim, and it is that time. We've got to put you on the hot seat. It is pick 14. You have to pick for the Rams, and just give us a player that you think they're very likely to select, and then maybe a player that you would like to see them pick, if there is a difference. What's your take on the Rams 14 pick?
Well, if Julio Jones is there, the Alabama wide receiver, I think they race up to the podium with the card, and you know, he's a big wide receiver, and some people have said that he reminds him of a young T.O. in terms of his frame and physique, and also the fact that, you know, he will drop a pass or two. But he's T.O. without the other problems. So I think they'd love to have him. But, you know, even with the stress fracture, after that great workout at the combine, the 4.37 time in the 40, you know, it's really debatable, maybe even doubtful, if Julio Jones will be there. Now, if he's not there, I think you're looking at defensive linemen. And the Rams could use an end. They could use a tackle. So there's a lot of guys that could be in the play there. Alden Smith of Missouri, Adrian Claiborne of Iowa, Cameron Jordan of Cal, all are ends. And that tackle, Corey Legit of Illinois, they're all possibilities. It'd be very interesting, too. I know the Rams like Mark Ingram a lot. Would they bring in, instead of just a complimentary back, would they bring in a guy like Ingram? But saying all that, if Julio Jones isn't there, I would guess the Rams would take one of those defensive linemen. And if I had to pick one, it would just be a guess, you know. So I'll just throw out Adrian Claiborne from Iowa as the end, a guy that can rush the passer, but also can play inside. Spagnuolo loves those versatile guys. And, you know, although Claiborne didn't have a great senior season, I think he could bring a lot to the table. And you put him in there with James Hall and Chris Long, but also have Claiborne playing in passing situations, maybe inside a tackle, and, you know, you could have a pretty darn good pass rush there in St. Louis.
Agreed, and, you know, looking back to Spagnuolo's days at the Giants, that's kind of how Mr. Reese built that team. It's inside out, and they had a heavy, you know, rotation with a couple of first-rounders on that line, if memory serves. Jim, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Talking Rams football, talking NFL draft. Just go ahead and give you an opportunity. If there's any other place the fans and Rams people can get at you outside of the Post-Dispatch and Rams Report.
Well, you know, I do some work for the Sporting News. I'm the Sporting News correspondent, but still the best place, you know. And I'm on 101 ESPN, the Rams flagship station here periodically, both off season and in season. But still the best place is in the Post-Dispatch or stltoday.com.
Outstanding. And once again, it is great to have you. We like to think we're know-it-alls on all these teams, Jim, but it's good to have an insider who actually knows the fans, knows the city, and the team.
Well, thanks so much. It's been my pleasure.
All right, and folks out there listening, you've been listening to On the Clock Podcast, brought to you by NFLDraftBible.com, where college football and the NFL collide. You want a player recommendation, you want more Rams info, you know where to go with NFLDraftBible.com. Keep it dialed in all week. We're going to be doing OTC shows and, of course, Draft Digest every single Thursday at 5 p.m., get a little bored with the NCAA tournament, go ahead and dial us in. 5 p.m. hosted by Daniel Muglione. Until next time, you keep it classy out there, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Give it up, go.
Welcome to the big show.
A couple of tackles.